Thanks for joining us and welcome back to episode 4 of In The Box. I'm Tom Lee and of course joined by the wonderful Charlotte Richardson for the podcast that brings you all the insight, information and innovation across the grassroots and the non-league game. So whether you're a parent, a coach, a player, a spectator, committee member or treasurer, we have got some fantastic conversations coming up for you from across the game.
And for the first time this series, we've come down south. We're in my neck of the woods. So I've brought Tom to my local football club. We are here at Hayes Lane to be here on match day as Bromley FC take on Aldershot in the National League. The team are doing really well on the pitch. But alongside that, they have a thriving under-23s, women's team, a great community trust. So we are here to learn about how they're winning both on the pitch and off it as well. But Tom, before that, it's time for our scouting report, which is our opportunity to shine a bit of a spotlight on you, the amazing work that you are doing in your grassroots football community. And Tom, I understand that the club that you want to shout out haven't just impressed you in recent weeks, but over the seasons as well.
Certainly. Ben Rosser and the Pythian Club from Nottingham was winners of the Grassroots Football Awards back in 2019. That's the first opportunity I got to learn about the fantastic work they do. But since then, they've gone on to thrive within their community, giving young people the opportunity to look beyond the grass and using sport as a mechanism and a vehicle to really improve lives.
Absolutely love that. Meanwhile, I want to shout out Ben Russell, who is a subscriber to In The Box and as such won tickets to go and watch England at Wembley Stadium. Ben, thank you so much for your support. I'm so pleased that you're enjoying our episodes of In The Box and got to see the Free Lions triumph at the home of England football. Don't forget, if you haven't yet, do make sure that you subscribe to In The Box so you are the first to know when our latest episodes drop. Right, Tom, I think it's time for a team talk. Hi, it's Charlotte from In The Box and I've got a very special competition to tell you all about. It's that time in the season where every football club needs some more of these. So I've got 10 night footballs for your club to win. All you need to do is head over to In The Box, subscribe to the channel, like our latest episode and leave a comment as well. That will enter you into the draw for a chance to win 10 Nike footballs. So what are you waiting for? Head over there now. So we've come straight to the boardroom of Bromley Football Club and I'm delighted to say we have the chairman, Robin Stanton-Gleaves, alongside us. Robin, thank you for joining us on the podcast. First things first, why did you get involved with the football club?
I often ask myself that question. I'm not from a sporting background. I come from a business background. I was born in Bromley. I grew up in Bromley. I got introduced to football club as I was coming out of my business life. And I sort of created an attachment to the football club. The football club certainly helped me regrow my attachment to the town of Bromley, because I've moved out. And I started to get familiar with the people and the place. And not necessarily just the football, but perhaps what else could be done around the football club. And I think that taught me for the first moment that perhaps the football club became a heartbeat of something else.
So, Robin, that sense of community and giving something back is obviously a big part of Bromley. But what's it like for yourself running a club at this level, just below the Football League?
I probably don't look at it like that. I don't measure it as being below the Football League. At the moment, I run it as if we are Football League. So I have an ambition that Bromley Football Club will be in League One. I haven't set the target date yet because I don't want to set a date I don't achieve and I'm still putting some blocks in place. But so what I'm building and what I'm doing and what my mindset, it's all about as if we were a League One club. So that when we get to that level, it won't spook us because we're already operating in that style.
And Robin, crowds have been growing here at Hayes Lane. How have you and your team gone about engaging with fans?
Well, they haven't been growing fast enough because I'm never happy. But I think it's just something I learned. You know, the Bromley has a population, the town, of between 300,000 and 330,000. And we get less than 1% coming to the football ground. And then when I talk to people around the town, where is Bromley Football Club? Hayes Lane, you know, the Bromley South area. Is it? I didn't know it was there. And before you know it, people don't actually know the football club exists as part of the town. So our job is to make the town aware of the football club, make the council want to know the football club, let let's get some brown signs around the borough that shows the directions to the football club. So our job is to really bring the football club as part of the town of Bromley so that those 330,000 people feel obliged, feel wanted to be part of the football club that's in their borough.
And obviously getting more people here generates revenue, but it's that consistent revenue, getting people to come back and things like the Broomfields here. How important is it establishing something like that to make sure the experience is one that is, like you say, the Football League or even beyond?
Well, when I first got into the football club and football, something was evident that everybody focused on match day and our revenues were driven by match day. And there's 46 league games in the season, and half of those are away. So there's 23 home games in the season. And we all talked about match day and what we can do. And I thought, right, okay, well, that's 23 days of the year. So what do we do the other 340 days? Because I'm not sure I know a business that operates on 23 days a year. So I sort of parked football. I looked at what can we do the other 340 days that generates revenue that then feeds into the football club so that we can attract better players, we can increase our revenues, and we come to more of a sustainable model. And not just what we do in those 340 days, but outside of the football experience, when they do come on those other 23 days, what greater experience can we give them? Just in case the team's in a bit of bad form or something like that, there's still a reason to go to the game on that day.
On that note then, how important do you think sustainability is for football clubs at this level, but across the football pyramid?
I think it's vital. I think it's vital. I mean, I know the situation at Bromley. And if I was to lose my interest, then the football club would be in trouble. It couldn't operate at its current level. And that's not just saying what I do for a pat on the back. That's what I do and many football club owners do. I'm not sure that's right, because I could get out of bed the wrong day, wrong side of the bed one day, as could any other owner, and just switch off whatever they provide to the football club, and the community and the fans suffer. And I don't think that's correct. And I do think that has to be addressed. And my personal ambition is that Bromley Football Club will remain and perform and be able to sustain itself without RSG.
And it is the reality out there, isn't it? There is one main benefactor across the non-league pyramid that is typically funding football clubs across the game. So if there was to say, like, there's a big risk there. So for yourself, what's the legacy that you see being implemented here?
The legacy is the sustainability. There's a personal legacy that I give back something to the town that I was born in. I was born here, I was brought up here, and I was educated here. So from a personal point of view, I give something back to the town, and I do that via the football club. So that probably ticks my personal box. For the football club box, I think it gives the football club the opportunity to continue without the requirement of my monies, because the infrastructure and the ideas and the empowerment that we've put around the football club come to fulfilment. They operate, they deliver, and they allow me not to have to provide.
Robin, it's been fascinating to talk to you. Like with every guest on In The Box, we save some quick fire questions. So we've got them lined up for you. The first is, what does football mean to you?
Oh, well, a quick fire question. I'm not sure I could answer that in a quick fire way. I think what I do like is the word team is what a football team is. And even in business, I use the word team, and I use to break that word down to the T, the E, the A, and the M, which stands for together, everybody achieves more. And I think the football team on the pitch, the team off the pitch, the team at Broomfields, the team in the Education Academy, the team in the back office, together, all those teams achieve more. And I think football's a great example of teams and wider teams and teams within teams that generate a result and give you something at the end of the day.
Fantastic. I love that. And I know you said you haven't been in football long, but obviously involved here. What's the biggest thing football's taught you since you've got involved?
I guess one of the things, we all go through learning curves. I own the football club, but I don't. The fans own the football club. And so you have to find the balance of engagement with the fans and their voice and their desire, together with your balance of what you know works from a business point of view. And sometimes your thought process won't satisfy the fan, and sometimes the fan's thought process won't satisfy me. And it's finding that balance. And once you find that balance, communicating it, so that both sides understand the communication of that of what each side is trying to do.
It's a really interesting answer there. And the final question, who's the best person in football that you know?
That's a really tough question. And we all grow up with the heroes that we have, as you know, and in my day, people like Graham Souness would have been, you know, and then in the latter years, somebody like Roy Keane. I loved the way they played the game with such a hardness and such an edge and such a desire to win. I sort of really liked that. If you look at our level of football, when I came to Bromley, I met a gentleman called Glyn Beverley, and he told me the stories and the history of what the club had done. And Glyn passed his baton, if you like, onto a guy called Jeremy Dolkey, who was the chairman and the owner here for a good 20 years. And Jerry took the football club to a level. And I know what he invested, both through his finances and his heart, into the football club. And I don't think that's often recognised. It's supposed to be a quick-fire answer, but I probably would say Jerry Dolkey, because I'm taking the baton from him to take the football club to the next stage and give the club my time and tenure. But that's only because of the time and tenure that Jerry gave the football club, and he took that from Glyn.
And it's really important to hear them stories, because obviously it passes the passion and the baton onto someone like yourself. So wonderful conversation there with Robin here, the chairperson at Bromley Football Club. Loads of messages to take away and implement at your level of the game. And now we're off outside to find out what else is happening. And now we're outside, joined by Director of Community Jeff Hutton and Lead for the Women and Girls Department within the Community Trust, Andrea Ellis. Andrea, I'm going to come to yourself first. The club's obviously winning both on and off the pitch. How important is it for us to have facilities like these for players to enjoy?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, we've got so many pitches that everyone can use here, and you know, they're great pitches so that you can use whatever the weather. So really good facilities as far as like sitting in the stand and somewhere to eat, and yeah, brilliant.
Jeff, people will see our visit here to Hayes Lane, and it is so inspiring. You've been here for a number of years. You started as a volunteer, then moved into the club secretary role. Now you're the director of the Community Trust. It's been quite a journey, but I'm sure there's been challenges as well. What kind of challenges has the club faced to get to this point?
Yeah, I think with any football club, I think change is probably the biggest challenge, whether people think it's good or bad. I think people really can find that quite hard sometimes. And the change here over the years has been absolutely phenomenal. To think one of my first games, 2004, 2005, we would have 400 people for a really important playoff semi-final game. We'll have that number on a Saturday morning soccer school now, you know, with just parents and kids before the game's even started. So that's just like a little snippet of how much it's changed. And like Andrea said, for us to have access to these 3G facilities and for the youth section to be able to grow from 8 teams to 40 plus teams, and for the academy to grow, it's been an unbelievable change, both on the pitch to go through the leagues as we have done and be on the brink of EFL football, but also off the field, like I say, to be engaged with almost 1,000 youngsters, boys and girls a week is phenomenal.
All them numbers truly are phenomenal, and the catalyst for change is so important, and we're winning a girls game, growing and thriving at such a pace. Andrea, how important is it for clubs like this to have roles like yours in place to inspire the next generation?
It's massive. I mean, we obviously know the Women's Euros are this year, and we're expecting a massive amount of women and girls to actually want to take up football, and we need to be there to provide football for them, whatever their first experience of football is, whether it's playing at grassroots in a club or whether it's coming along and having a recreational session here. So it's really massive. It's an opportunity of a lifetime.
Jeff, one thing that's really clear with the winning on the pitch, the winning off the pitch, is there's real leadership at this football club. Values, we've been taking a look around, we've spoken to the chairman. Those values seem to be at the heart of everything. How would you describe the sort of leadership style that operates here at Bromley?
I think we've always put people first. I think that's probably quite important. I think the investment the club makes, in our facilities, and you've seen where we work now, and you know, it's absolutely fantastic. But even before that, when we weren't fortunate enough to have those facilities, I think we've also always put the people first. We've also always provided people with the training and support we can. There's a lot of new people here in the last 12 months, but there's also a lot of people here that have been here for over a decade, and there must be a reason for that. I think our values are right. I think people enjoy working here, and some of the talent and people we've managed to attract to work with us is probably a good testament to that.
You heard that, Andrea, pointed at you. Yeah.
No pressure.
And what we like to do is fire some quick fire questions into everyone that we interview here on In the Box. So I'm going to start with yourself, Andrea. What does football mean to you?
Oh, you say quick fire. How long have you got? It's everything. It's just, it brings so much. It's a sense of belonging and friendship. I think that's the biggest two things that football bring to me.
Lovely. And Jeff, yourself?
Yeah, you've nicked that one.
Sorry.
Sense of belonging. I think community. I think that sums it up perfectly. I say there's people that we engage with, which if it wasn't for the football club, you probably wouldn't do. You know, just whether it's young, old, we've seen it with Ravens Chat that we have. I think it's just community. It brings people together that wouldn't probably cross paths or engage with each other. And I think that's probably our biggest. Yeah, I think that's the biggest element.
We'll let you go first on the next one, Jeff. What's the best thing that football has taught you?
Oh, wow. Taught me. I think have a purpose. I think that's probably the biggest thing. Have that overriding purpose, passion, whatever it might be. And just go for it and know that anything's possible. Just have a purpose and go for it.
I'd say for me, the best thing it's taught me is about teamwork and communicating, and just such great life skills, work skills, you know, when you play in a team, just gives you that kind of understanding of getting on with people from all different walks of life.
What I love about these questions is the consistency in answers from the top right down to us out here on the pitches here. One last one for you. Who's like your biggest unsung hero, or means the most to you, or inspired you the most?
For me, I just guess it's the people that are on the ground. I wouldn't want to necessarily pick out a particular person. You know, there's a lot of people there that are in the background helping out, keeping clubs running, particularly, you know, with my over 30s women's recreational sessions. I've got a committee that stand behind me and support me. So, yeah, those people in the background that just keep things ticking over and do it for the love.
Yeah, I think Andrea's right. I think we can build all the facilities we want. We can create these amazing facilities. But if we don't have a core group of volunteers that are able to bring people together, like I say, our youth setup for the amount of kids, almost 500 boys and girls, completely volunteer run by an amazing committee, some of them parents, some of them not. The pure passion they've got for it, and for them, they're doing it purely for the love of the game, is inspirational to see.
Volunteers truly are inspirational, as are you both. Thank you so much for joining us on In The Box. We have yet to meet one individual, and that is the gaffer. So let's head over to his office now. As we count down to kickoff, we are now in the manager's office, and I'm delighted to say we have Andy Woodman alongside us. Andy, thank you for talking to us ahead of a big game this evening. And we've been speaking to lots of people at the football club about leadership and success on the pitch, off the pitch. As a manager of a football club, how would you describe your leadership style?
I think my style is really to sort of make sure everyone's involved, make sure everyone knows what's going on. And then really try to lead by example, making sure that, you know, it's a sort of an old sort of analogy that sort of the first one in, last one out every day. So if they see that you're working hard, hopefully they'll all follow suit. I try not to be too strict, but obviously make sure that everyone's on the same page as me. So that's pretty much, as you know, how I sort of run the ship.
And the key way in doing that is obviously having clear values. We see around the facility messages and motivation written up on the wall. What are the values that stand out for you and that you'll try to build a team around?
Yeah, well, funny enough, we've just been looking over those again for next season, so that's quite ironic. Honesty, we want honest people here that are willing to go above and beyond, because that's the level we're at. You know, we haven't got loads of resources, so we make sure everyone has to do their job and beyond. Integrity, everyone, you know, work with integrity. And a real sort of winning desire and everything we do to be the best at, because it's the 1% margins that we have to sort of get right that will make the difference to our season. So they're sort of like the basic values that we try to work off here and try to reinforce, you know, right through the club, from the chairman right down myself to the players. And ironically, we had a meeting about recruitment and the sort of characters we're looking to bring in that fit that criteria, which isn't always easy on a budget we've got. But, you know, that's we're going to try and stick to that model, and hopefully that model shines through next season.
You mentioned players, but I know as well, for a successful football club, it's a lot to do with the people off the pitch as well. Do you have a lot of involvement with them? How important are they in helping support the players that you put out on the pitch?
Yeah, I think that's really important, because there's a lot of people, a lot of football clubs, and particularly here, that do a lot of work for these players, myself, and don't get any thanks, praise, or even look for that. So I try and involve them in as much as possible. There was a meeting I'd done when I first come here, and I got everyone at the club in the meeting to really sort of let them know where I'm at, where I want to get to, and how important they're going to be in that journey. And I try to sort of continue that. Every morning I make a point of going out of my office into different departments around the building to speak to people. And the biggest thing I've found is when we get beat, I think everyone is a little bit nervous to speak to the manager. They feel, oh, he's going to be in a bad mood. So I kind of try and put on a little bit of a front and try to lift everyone else's spirits. So that's not always easy, but that's what I try to do, you know, throughout the building.
And obviously you're a manager of the first team. Your immediate staff around you are all focused around the players and that them performances that you can't always control what happens out there on the grass. But obviously you've got massive grassroots coattails within this club and the volunteer coaches. How important are they and worth their weight in gold for clubs like yourself?
Well, they're priceless for us. I mean, we've got a couple of young boys that have got into our first team. So financially, for my budget, it's very important that I get those through, because that helps me. I think it also helps the academy, that people that are coming to the academy can see that there's a pathway to the first team here. So that's really important for the club as a whole. And I quite like to see young players, you know, come through and young coaches as well. I like to help them because, you know, we all started somewhere and we all needed, I can think of a couple of coaches on my journey that have helped me, you know, to get to where I've got to and work at the highest level. So I try sort of, I have this sort of phase of sort of like paying it back to people. I don't think it takes a lot to be polite. And I don't think it takes a lot to help people. And these people, you know, are continually helping me in what I'm trying to achieve. So it's a bit of give and take for both. But I'm certainly aware of how important, you know, the academy and the people that work in the academy are very important to me.
Someone said to me earlier that the coach you've recently brought into the first team had actually started with the under sevens in the youth team. So they're the first product that's come through the coaching side of the football club into the first team setup, which was really, really nice to hear. We have a lot of volunteers listen to this podcast. And with your background in the professional game, you've worked at some of the best clubs in the world, in the country. But I suppose the advice around leadership, it doesn't matter if it's the professional game, the non-league game, or if you're a volunteer. What advice would you give to someone that you can think is universally applicable?
Well, I think if you are leading people, you're doing it for no gain yourself, if that makes sense. You're doing it. I always think I'm leading these people because I want them to have a better season or a better match or a better, you know, better everything. And I say it to the players all the time, and I sometimes don't think they believe me. I've had my career as a player, and I've had my career to a degree as a coach. I'm now a manager, and I want these people to sort of experience the highs I've had. So when I get upset that we've lost, it's generally not because we've lost for me, it's because of the opportunity that they may have missed out on. So coming back to, you know, what you're saying about people that volunteer, if you just do everything to your max and be quite selfless about it, there are days you think, you know, I'm maybe getting taken advantage of, but I believe it comes full circle. And you don't have to sing from the top of the rooftops to tell everyone what a good job you're doing. I think it'll find you and people will notice it. And I think that's very important. You know, you can lead in many ways. And I think sometimes just by your own actions is always the best way.
Beautiful stuff. Andy, what we like to do with everyone that we talk to on the podcast is finish with some quick fire questions. So it's going to be hard to try and answer some of these, I know. But what does football mean to you?
Football means everything to me. Yeah, everything. It's given me my life. Yeah, it's given me my family a great life. It's continuing to give my family a great life. And I've enjoyed going to work every day. So I'm not sure if that you wanted it in one word answer, but that's pretty much it.
That's
everything.
Brilliant.
It's given us everything.
Yeah. It's an absolutely great answer. And the next quickfire question is, what's the best thing that football's taught you?
Football's taught me to not get too high with the wins and not get too low with the losses. And funny enough, I realigned myself with that just recently because, you know, you can 1 minute be, you know, top of the tree and everything's going great, and then a couple of results, you're looking around thinking, when's the next win come from? Steve Coppell once said to me, don't get too high with the wins and don't get too low with the losses.
That's great advice for anybody at any level of the game. And the final one, who's your biggest inspiration within the game?
Ooh, that is a good one. My biggest inspiration, I would have to say, this might surprise a few people, but someone I've worked with very closely for many years, Alan Pardew. He helped me a hell of a lot on my journey as a player when I was an apprentice footballer. And he's helped me as a coach, and I've obviously worked with him under a coach environment. And now I'm managing, he still comes down to Bromley to watch the games and give me advice on certain things. So I'd be hard-pressed to say, you know, look beyond Alan Pardew of how much he's helped me, really.
Well, Andy, thank you so much for helping us and listeners there with your amazing, honest answers. We really appreciate it, and best of luck against Aldershot tonight.
Thank you.
What a wonderful day here at Bromley Football Club, home of the Ravens, who are soon to be playing in the FA Trophy final at Wembley Stadium.
We spoke about winning on the pitch, but they're doing plenty of winning off it as well. To see the impact the club is having in its local area has been very inspiring. And Tom, we always like to take away some learnings. What's your key takeaway?
I think my biggest takeaway has been that one, that if you want to operate at the next level, make sure you put that into practice today.
For me, I think it's the case of winning is fantastic, getting to finals at Wembley is amazing, but to truly win and commit to your local community in the way that Bromley has been doing over the years is incredible. And it doesn't matter what size your football club is, if you start small, you can grow over time and reach some incredible heights. So yes, taking plenty of inspiration away from our trip to Hayes Lane.
We certainly are, and be sure to go like and subscribe to the channel to be in with a chance of winning all those prizes. The Nike footballs could be yours to win. All you need to do is like, comment and subscribe.
So from Tom and I here at Bromley Football Club, it's goodbye.